Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey everyone, welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier. I'm here as always with my good friend and colleague, Tommy Welling. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
Doing fantastic. We are firing on all cylinders today, my friend. I am, as always, super excited to talk about this really cool article that we came across from a company that uses CGMs, which is constant glucose monitoring. And yeah, they put together this really robust research-backed 12-topic list of things you can do to lower your glucose, which really means lowering your insulin spike and your insulin response. And it was extremely actionable. Like, there were so many things you could do just like at the next meal or at the next fasting window. And we went over it in the 10-day challenge, the ramp-up challenge that we just finished up. And it was incredible to see the response from it. So we're going to go over our top three or four takeaways, and then you can find the link in the show notes.
Yeah, I thought these were really cool because, like you said, you can really literally take them to your next eating opportunity. You know, you can get started with them today, and they have a marked improvement on those things that are so important: the blood sugar spikes, the insulin spikes, which are going to ultimately lead to, you know, the control of type 2 diabetes, you know, blood sugar, metabolic issues, as well as you know, increasing fat loss as well. So just really cool. And I thought it was nice that it synced up with things that we were talking about and were very actionable in the challenge as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I was reading it, I'm like, okay, all right, number one. And I'm like, oh wait, number one isn't what I thought number one was going to be. Number two is what I thought the number one was going to be. The number two on their list is explore intermittent fasting, right? So right. You and I, big proponents of OMAD, gave us our life back, gave us back control, right? Like, yeah, no more naps, the weight's gone, better dad, better husband, better just person all around, less angry, less hangry, all that stuff, right? And I'm like, surely the number one strategy, but that's my biased opinion, would be, it would be fasting. But number one on their list, which is eating earlier in the day, I put it in the fasting category because it's something that we use personally, and then also something we teach, where it can be a tool if you're at a plateau, if you're not seeing the results with intermittent fasting, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought that was really, it hit me because you know, you hear people say, well, don't eat late in the day and things like that, but a lot of times it's with the frame of the calories, like, because you would tend to get more calories in if you're eating all throughout the day and you eat into the later part of the day. But when you dive into the research and they actually do controlled studies where you're taking in the same number of calories, but you put them earlier in the day, that leads to a lower glucose spike, lower insulin response, and thus supporting our fasting goals and our just overall health better just by eating earlier in the day.
Yeah. And so that, I mean, that really fits into the intermittent fasting kind of concept too, where there was another case report and there's studies, this one that showed the participants that did 24-hour fast 3 to 4 times a week were able to reverse their insulin resistance enough in 7 months to reverse diabetes. So combining the concept of more time in between meals to allow your insulin to come down, which is one of the major benefits of fasting, you know, the weight loss, but never mind the metabolic and physiological things that happen on, you know, along with that, is literally addressing the cause of the problem, which is the insulin resistance. It was cool because you take the timing in between meals and then you add in the concept of, well, sometimes it is better to actually eat earlier in the day now you've got a couple of different levers you can pull on your journey. Mm-hmm. Like as you start to figure out how the tool of fasting can be used on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. And I really like that because we had a specific example that came up where somebody asked us, okay, I'm trying to hit I can't remember the time frame, but I think it was something like around a 30 to 32 hour fast. And they said, okay, well, either I can make it to that fasting window, or I can cut it off a couple hours shorter, because in order to make it to that window, I'm going to have to eat dinner, you know, later than normal, like a 9 or 10 PM dinner or something like that. And, but the insulin response, it's exaggerated the later on that we go into the day. So it was actually, we recommended for this person to break the fast a little earlier. So instead of a 30 hour fast, it may have been a 27 hour fast, but that means a better response, better sleep that night, and a lower insulin response and better supporting of the goals, and then just start the next fast right then after the meal.
Yeah. And I believe the outcome of that was the scale started moving again for the first time in a while. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like it could be used as like a plateau breaker. I don't even like the word plateau, because your body is probably at a set point, or you're under or overfeeding it, or your stress is high, or your sleep sucks, or something mm-hmm. else has happened, right? Where it's like your body isn't able to be as metabolically flexible as it should, or it's not processing the food, or you've fallen off track a little bit with your food choices. You've been on the road, all those different types of things. So the cool part was moving that meal up, breaking the fast a little bit earlier, and then seeing the fact that that actually started, I think this was on day 5 or 6, maybe even day 7 in the ramp up. And then right from then till the end, it was like, whoa, I can't believe I finally broke through.
Yeah. Yeah. That was cool. And I also don't like that word, you know, plateau, because, you know, it implies that there's a long-term issue. But oftentimes there's not. Oftentimes just regrouping, seeing what those moving parts have looked like and what you've been eating and at what times lately can be enough to break past that sticking point.
One additional thing there too is sometimes you're just being impatient.
Right.
Like you're just really being impatient. Like it took 30 years to put on those extra 30 pounds. Mm-hmm. The scale went up 0.2. Doesn't matter. I went up 1.4. It doesn't matter. It's that application consistently over time. And that was one of the cool threads of the week of the 10 days was consistency over perfection. Mm-hmm. You know, like consistency and then the greater than sign about 10 times and then the word perfection. So staying consistent with it is way more important. So it was really cool just to see that realization. And it was a great, you know, reflection point for us. And then also cool to see people be able to just put it right into play like immediately.
Yeah, it was. And then, you know, we started tweaking that and refining it, especially with some tips like this, like the eating earlier in the day and just watching that, you know, be effective. And just the fact that, you know, bringing in the same number of calories, but earlier in the day or within a tightened eating window, like there's research cited here that talking about going from a 12-hour eating window, like an 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., taking that and shrinking it down into a 6-hour eating window, like from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., but taking in the same number of calories, but a significantly reduced glucose and insulin spike, and reversing the metabolic issues and supporting the fat loss. And it's just it's amazing, because before I started fasting, I would have had a problem acknowledging that just on kind of a practical level without seeing the data behind it. Cause it just didn't feel like it should matter to me. It was like, well, if I'm counting it, right. If my macros are the same and I'm counting it, shouldn't it all come out in the wash, so to speak?
Right.
Well,
right.
But the problem is that the insulin response that we have from our meal earlier in the day is still elevated by the time we get into the next eating opportunity. And that just leads to another further exaggerated insulin response. And so it just doesn't have the time to come down, which is what we need.
So I love combining these two to land the plane, as we like to say. So, just off this article, like it was really cool because we're like, oh, this is what we do, you know, 24-hour fasting periods, 3 to 4 times a week, moving your meals earlier. If you're not seeing the results you want, you know, put it in to play for a couple of weeks. And then that results in the increased insulin sensitivity, which is the good side of insulin, where the opposite is the resistance. So mm-hmm. it was really cool. And I like how easy it is. And yeah, with you, I was like, wait a minute, should that really matter? And apparently it does. So it's going to be cool to see that 30-hour fast, like the lunch to the following dinner, to see kind of what the numbers look like with the people we're working with. And then I'm going to do it personally. I'm going to do it a few times just to kind of see the before and afters.
Okay, cool.
It'll be cool. If you do the tracking, then you can do the same thing. So that kind of leads into talking about the effect of eating, right? Which would be my second favorite one in this, which would be when we combine and they use the term preloading. Mm-hmm. So fat plus protein or fat plus carb before a meal, and what that showed on the back end in terms of a glucose and insulin spike.
Yeah. And this one's interesting too, because, basically, carbohydrates by themselves were shown to have the greatest spike in blood sugar and the greatest insulin spike. But right. when we preloaded or combined fat and or protein with the carbohydrates, then it greatly reduced the amount of insulin response. You know, after or coming into that meal and needing to be present to process that meal, which has huge implications for keeping fat storage to a minimum and, you know, supporting fat loss.
Yeah. And I like, so this was cool. One of the biggest hiccups, roadblocks, I don't know how else you want to categorize it for people is, oh, I love carbs, right? Going low carb. We did a whole episode on it. Going low carb. They did a study. It was a pretty big study. And they looked at the efficacy of the weight loss and the diabetes reversal, the HbA1c numbers. And I don't remember all the specifics off the top of my head, but this is a few episodes ago where the outcome at 6 months, 12 months, and 2 years, the 12 month and 2 years showed a complete regression or actually an increase or a regression of the goal, which was to lower blood sugars and lose weight, right? So sticking to the carb. Yeah, the maintenance part of it. So sticking to the carb thing is always a catch. And we know that carbs, like you just said, spike insulin and glucose the most, especially like the things like maltodextrin and, you know, just all of the additional process side of things too. But simply looking at this study, I like this was a non-diabetic study, and it was showing that 23 grams of protein. So it's like a scoop of a protein powder just for a visual representation. And 17 grams of fat, which is like a pad and a half of butter-ish, right? So eating that, I wouldn't eat protein powder and butter together, but just a visual representation. 25 to 30 minutes before ingesting carbohydrates, significantly decreased post-meal blood sugar levels.
Wow.
That had insulin resistance. So non-diabetic individuals that had insulin resistance, combining the protein and the fat before ingesting the carbohydrate was huge. So I know growing up for me, it was always, well, we start with the bread on the table, right? Then we go to the salad, then we go to the meat. Well, I had it completely backwards. We had it out of order, right?
Right. Yeah. Do the salad first with some, maybe some oil and vinegar dressing with it, maybe a little bit of chicken in the salad or some soup. And then, you know, just flip those around because it allows the processing to begin without just focusing on the carbohydrates, because the body tends to have an exaggerated carbohydrate response where the sugar starts to spike, especially with white bread or other, you know, fast acting carbohydrates, then it compensates on the insulin side.
Hey, fasting fam, want to let you know about an incredible company that we've partnered with, AquaTrue.com. Promo code fasting for life to receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. These are not your old school pitcher filters or your refrigerator filters. We're talking about a proprietary 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process. Their countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing, which if you've priced those whole home water filtration systems, you know exactly what I'm talking about. These incredible countertop versions. They do have one under sink mounting model as well, but they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters, like I mentioned, and they're specifically designed to combat this new group of chemicals that the Environmental Working Group has done a deep dive on, these forever chemicals called PFAS or PFASs. These are in 45% of our U.S. tap water. 45%. These things can lead to endocrine system disruption, certain types of cancers, liver toxicity. And I'm so glad that there's now a countertop affordable version of this incredible technology. So as we fast, we know that water, outside of a little black coffee and tea, is the only thing that we drink. So if we're trying to get the biggest bang for our buck, we're trying to increase autophagy, allow our bodies to heal, shed the weight, get healthy, reverse disease, then why not give it the absolute best quality water that you can? So AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. It even makes a great gift, like I mentioned, my aunt and uncle. Today, as one of our loyal listeners, if you support them, you're supporting us. You're going to get 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to AquaTrue.com. That's AquaTru.com and enter code Fasting for Life. FASTINGFORLIFE. That's 20% off any of the AquaTrue water purifiers at AquaTrue.com.
The other one in this category, so that's the fat and protein combination, 25 to 30 minutes before. And this was really cool because I had never done this or seen this or thought of this before. So this is eating fat alone in conjunction with a carbohydrate. So the example here, and this was the research study that they cited, again, it will decrease the post-meal sugar spike, right? So we know that insulin and glucose kind of trend together. You can't really test your insulin at home, so we use glucose as the indicator. And this is eating 3 ounces of almonds with a meal of white bread. So this was the study. I'm not recommending you go out and eat white bread, okay? But, you know, growing up, you know, bologna sandwiches on the Wonder Bread, you know, fried bologna sandwiches, a little bit of Hellman's mayo, a little bit of Dijon mustard. Yeah, this was a real thing back in the day.
Yeah.
So no more white bread, but 3 ounces of almonds with a meal of white bread, combining those two, right, showed a significant decrease rather than eating just the white bread alone. So simply combining 3 ounces of almonds with carbohydrates.
Yeah.
Can insulate you from the effect of the carbs.
Yeah. And you know, one of the other points that we're not going to get into so much right now, but was vinegar. Vinegar was mentioned as being able to blunt the glucose and the insulin spike too. But you know, like going into an Italian restaurant.
Yeah. Do we? I said I couldn't just. I'm like taking a shot of white vinegar like before I eat bread. Like I'm just like I don't think I can do that.
Right, and that sounds terrible. But at the same time, if you go into some Italian restaurants, they put white bread in front of you, but they also may offer you olive oil and balsamic vinegar with it as well. So put the olive oil with it. Put the vinegar with it. And then now you have a blood sugar stunting, you know, combination to help with the white bread that's, you know, delicious. And you may be eating anyway, along with your meal. So you can blunt that response with it too.
Yeah. So for my brain, it's like, all right, well, I'm going to, you know, we have our holiday party coming up and we talked a lot about this with people in the 10 day too. It was incredible that over 50 people went through it and just, man, I'm just so fired up still. I'm like, when are we doing the next one? So,
right.
That's awesome. You know, protein and fat. I'm like, oh yeah, I can handle eating protein and fat before carbs. Yeah, sure. Great. I can definitely do that. You know, we're having a homemade, you know, spaghetti and turkey meatball. We use the Bonza pasta. It's got higher protein, higher fiber, still carbs. Mm-hmm. So I still get a, you know, the nasty effect of it, the sluggish kind of brain fog, and I don't feel great the next day. So this time I'm going right to the meatballs. You know, it's going to be grass-fed ground beef and meatball mix. So that's going to give me my protein and my fat. And then I'll have the Bonza separate. I'll have it after, right? I'll just have my own little like dessert. And I'm going to measure and see kind of what happens. And then the second thing with the almonds, I'm like 3 ounces of almonds, that's 40 grams of fat. So combining protein and fat negates the carb effect 20 to 35 minutes before. And simply just eating 3 ounces of almonds, which is about 40 grams of fat, like that just seems too simple. And someone in the challenge actually did this and then reported back, like, I can't believe my numbers were lower after my meal.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't believe this works. I'm like, I'm sad to say that me too. I had no idea this was a thing.
Yeah. These are the kinds of things where they're easy to kind of write off. But when you start seeing the data, you start seeing the spikes and the numbers that go behind it that were used in the study. And then for us personally, and then in the challenge, you know, using things like a ketone monitor and taking a look at ketones and blood sugar, you know, before and after these meals, and actually seeing it work is powerful stuff.
All right. So the last one that we want to highlight is the topic of exercise. So two of the biggest questions we get when people come to us and they find like, okay, you're just recommending fasting. Okay, well, what do I eat? Well, what do you like to eat? Okay. If it's not fast food every day, we're not going to be like, okay, you should probably stop eating that, right? Like if you have a balanced meal plan, then just eat what you like, but know the effects of what you're eating and then make changes as you go, as you learn the process, right? So what do I eat is one of the questions. And then what do I do with exercise? Meaning when can I exercise, fast it, et cetera, et cetera. And the answer is yes. And it depends on how you feel. There's this 2-week adaptation process that needs to happen for your body to get adapted to working out in a fasted state. And there's dozens of influencers and fasters and fasting gurus that I know, like if you just search it, right, that will come up, and they actually recommend working out in a fasted state. Now we're talking for fat loss. We're not talking for, you know, like trying to bodybuild and hit PRs every day in a powerlifting program, right? Mm-hmm. So this was cool because there's two studies here, and some of the people, you know, have 50, 80, 100 pounds to lose. Well, I don't think it's probably the best idea to get on the Biggest Loser and start doing these crazy high intense like workouts with all the extra weight. Let's get some of the weight off first. And one of the things we recommend a lot is walking, right?
Yeah.
So it's easy if you're not a big mover, especially today in 2020, we're home a lot more, right? We're not out and about as much. So we're missing our air quotes steps. Well, easiest thing you can do, I know I see the wry smile on your face, Tom, but we did it. We talked about the whole 10,000 steps to nowhere episode back in the day, but
yeah.
People like their steps. We encourage movement. So this was cool. There's two different, you know, applications for what they talk about here in terms of exercise. So people doing 30 minutes of walking in one block, right? So you take the dogs for a walk, you do your afternoon walk, you walk at lunchtime, right? Whatever.
Right.
Compared to doing 1 minute and 40 seconds of walking every 30 minutes throughout waking hours up until that 30 minute mark. So 30 minutes of exercise of walking in both study, the participants doing the 1 minute and 40 second like bursts, like the little, I'm just going to go walk for a minute and 40 seconds and I'm going to stop every 30 minutes, showed that the post meal glucose peaks and insulin levels were decreased in the burst group, so the 1 minute and 40 second group, compared to the 30 minute block of walking. And it was the same amount of walking, just the fact the glucose and insulin levels were much lower in that second group. And that's really stinking cool, because anybody can do a minute and 40 seconds of anything every 30 minutes.
Right. It's so easy to do. And that's just another one where that would have been hard for me to understand before seeing the data. And I probably would have just said, oh, well, no, it can't be that big of a deal. But again, these are all just really, really actionable tools. And if you put something like a continuous glucose monitor and you see the data and you see how all these things are affecting that, your blood sugar and your insulin spikes, it's incredible. And all these things add up. Take two or three, you know, it's like start today even with just one and start stacking these on top of each other, and know you're making a significant impact on the blood sugar and on the insulin resistance. And it's working. Even if the scale isn't moving just yet, it's working in the background. It's priming the machine for change. And I mean, these things are incredible. Like that's extremely actionable. It's easy to do. Anybody can do it. And in full transparency, even if, you know, tracking 10,000 steps doesn't have a significant effect on fat loss and other measurement outcomes, I put in tons and tons of steps, especially when I started fasting. I was, you know, I'd be listening to audiobooks about fasting and just walking around the neighborhood and in the back of our neighborhood just for miles and miles. And that took up a lot of the significant extra time that I had when I was, you know, just not eating and not thinking about what the next thing was I was going to be eating. So,
it's a cool void filler. I didn't think of it that way. Like, yeah, you're not going to eat. Okay. Well, walk instead.
Yeah. Especially as you start getting through your household projects and it's like, well, okay, well, what else? I mean, there's some extra time there.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. And I would have had a hard time thinking that was, it would have been the same kind of outcome looking at those numbers ahead of time. But if the goal is to reduce insulin resistance and to get the weight to move again, then I like how simple it is. And then the other part of the exercise piece was they looked at, so overall, we know that exercise, you know, 30 plus minutes, three times a week, 8 weeks, tons of research out that shows it improves insulin resistance and glycemic control. So blood sugar control and fasting glucose levels, right? So we know exercise has a benefit, but high intensity training actually improves glucose and insulin sensitivity in as little as 2 weeks, like that burst concept. So this other study that they talk about, which is really cool, it's three different exercise regimens, all added up to 60 minutes of exercise. So 20 minutes of jogging, 30 minutes before meals, and that's repeated three times a day, right? So they're eating three meals a day. Mm-hmm. And then 20 minutes of jogging, 30 minutes after meals, repeated three times a day. And then multiple short bursts of exercise throughout the day. So 3 minutes of jogging every 30 minutes, repeated 20 times a day, right? So 3 minutes of jogging, right? Mm-hmm. 20 times. So that gets you your 20, 40, 60 minutes, right?
Yeah.
And it found that the short regular bursts done by the third group were most effective at reducing your body's response to eating in terms of blood sugar.
Hmm. Wow.
Right? Like, I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. Like, can it be? And it, that's cool to me because 3 minutes of jogging or 3 minutes of like push-ups or 3 minutes of doing jumping jacks in my office is way easier for me right now in the at-home office with two kids, three dogs, a wife who's in practice. You got the UPS guy coming and knocking on the door. The dogs are barking. We're trying to record a podcast. I'm like, all right, well, set a timer. I literally can get up in the office right now, which is under construction, and I can just do jumping jacks, get my heart rate up, and then go sit back down.
Right. I mean, that's it's so easy to find all those little small windows. And I love just setting a timer, and you can use like a Pomodoro timer app or something else like that. And just do it once every 20, 30 minutes and just take a minute or two and do something, get your heart rate up. And then you don't have to look for these big extended blocks of time, because when we do that, we tend not to find them. And then we push it to the next window. And then those just slip away anyway as missed opportunities. But even if we found the opportunities, they weren't as effective as just those little small bursts. So I think that's incredibly empowering.
What we're not saying is stop doing the workout regimen that you're doing. If you're already working out, great. But if you're at a plateau, pick something to mix it up. If you're doing the long, you know, hot works workouts or the F45 workouts or the CrossFit workouts, you know, it might not be as, you know, you might be getting the results you're looking for, but combining the fasting with one of these things or two of these things that we've talked about is really going to be the action step for me today, Tommy. It's, these are really easy things you can put in. So if it's combining the fat and protein before a meal or doing the almonds before a meal, if you know you're going to have carbs and carbs are a problem for you, you're trying to break the cycle, right, of having that carb addiction,
right.
You know, using the 3 to 4 days a week, the 24 hour window, you know, with the eating earlier in the day, maybe doing a lunch to the 30 hours to the following dinner would be a good thing, or putting in one of these new, you know, walking regimens if you're a walker, or one of these exercise burst regimens for a couple of weeks and see what happens, see how you feel, see what the scale says. So I'd pick one or two of these things, put them in, and I don't really think there could be anything more actionable than that. Right, Tommy, as we wrap this up.
No, I think that's great. I think, I think these are really easy to put into place today. So don't wait. Yeah.
Awesome. One,
go for it.
Love it. If you got questions, shoot us a message. The link will be in the show notes. If you're new to the podcast, go to the website. You can learn about who we are, what we do. You'll see the fast start guide, which is how to put 24-hour fast or one meal a day fast into your day-to-day. There's a small, short 20-minute video training called the Mini Masterclass that comes with that fast start guide. Go ahead and put in your email, download it. You'll get the access to the mini masterclass. That'll be the best place to start. If you have questions for us, reach out info@thefastingforlife.com, info@thefastingforlife.com, and stay tuned as we close out this year and ramp up for 2021. We are working on a lot of cool tools, a lot of cool resources, and stay tuned for the update on the next challenge. Tommy, as always, thank you, sir. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye. So, you've heard today's episode, and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com and sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free Fast Start guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.